Well, hello there, fellow podcasters. This is Casey, and I got Tom here with me and Joe, and we're Freedom Fighters of Joy Church, and we're going to be discussing a little bit with Joe. He had some revelation about Jonah, who is a story of hope. And so I'm just going to jump right in here, Joe, and I just want to ask you, why don't you just share a little bit about your story and then give us some perspective on what God has given you about Jonah and his story.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. I'm Joe. I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to be here and to share a little bit about my story and to just share the story of hope with men that are struggling or women that don't have hope in their husbands. Just to give them some hope and give them some strength, some encouragement. I got into church, got saved at the age of 12 years old, introduced to pornography age 14, and from then on it's been a struggle in my mind mentally, fighting it, trying to be a good Christian, but also struggling. I had such a great desire to please God and to serve God, but the shame kept me from trying to get help, confessing to people, because I knew that I felt like I would be outcast. I felt like there's something wrong with me. So I felt that I couldn't share. I couldn't go and get help from anybody. I would lie if people asked me if I had any issues with it, or parents might find something and might deny it. I mean, there's just this whole story growing up, but I would have years that I would go and I'd try to just read my Bible more and pray more, and attended service 3-4 times a week. I volunteered in bus routes in the church, and even in high school I decided to go to Bible college to be a preacher, because I really just wanted to serve God. I wanted to perform good things, that's because I felt that all the bad things I've done, I'm trying to make up for it and to do good things and to serve in the way that I can. Met my wife in college, lied to her about all my sexual history. Basically, she thought I was pure as the driven snow. Shortly, about a year and a half in our marriage, she discovered that I had been looking at pornography. But with her being so innocent with it, she didn't really know what to do, and it was the shame behind it. We didn't seek any counseling or help at that time, and I assured her I would stop, and I did for a good bit, but it would, might go 6 months or so, and we would, we would once in a while, we would, she'd find it again, and then it'd be a re-traumatizing, and I just got better at hiding it, to be honest. I never did seek help until 8 years in our marriage. We've got 2 children. My world fell apart because I had actually had some affairs that were coming to surface. And pornography, you can hide it, a lot easier than you can another person that's telling people. So that kind of came to surface, and it was someone that we knew, and it was a big ugly mess, and I couldn't lie about it anymore. I had to get it. It was out. There was no hiding it. So I traumatized her that way, and then with the disclosure and everything, that was 2 years ago. So now we're in 10 years of marriage, and we've had some ups and downs over the last 2 years, but I know that the Lord is working on me tremendously, especially with this group, I'm excited about my wife getting involved in the Trail and Beyond women's support group as well.
Wow.
So yeah, we're really excited about that. And also because of my boys, I'm fighting harder because I have little ones coming behind me, and I know that the struggle that they could face if they're not equipped right now.
Right.
And so they give me hope for the future to keep fighting, as well as seeing hope in scripture and seeing hope in other people's lives and getting strength from this group.
Wow.
But yeah, so to roll that into Jonah, Jonah is a story of hope because he kind of relates to me, because I ran from God. But on the outside, everybody thought that I was on my path, on the right path. When Jonah was on the boat to Tarshish, nobody wondered why he was going away from God. He looked like a normal passenger. He looked like a person that was supposed to be going the right direction on the outside, you know. But whenever the storm hit, he didn't start praying to his God. And that was one thing that was like, you know, the waves are getting kind of rough. And to me, I relate that with pornography. I'm starting to struggle, so I turn to a coping behavior. So instead of praying to God, I turn to a coping behavior. I'm in this storm. So I'm sitting around with other pagans, and they're praying to their God, but I'm not praying to my God. I'm letting them do what they need to do, but I'm relying on myself. I'm relying on my coping behaviors that are unhealthy. And Jonah's sitting there on the ship, and he finally confesses, guys, I'm the reason that we're in this mess. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much, I'm the reason my family, you know, me and my wife are having such a hard time. I'm confessing that I can't blame her. I can't blame her that, you know, the direction of our marriage. So I have to take responsibility and confess. But Jonah still didn't pray to his God. He says, guys, you just got to throw me in the ocean because there's no hope. And the guys were saying, no, let's get back to shore. We'll put you off on the shore. And they rowed harder and harder trying to get to shore. God just wasn't letting it happen. It was Jonah made the decision to turn from God. God's made the decision now that Jonah has to get off the boat before they get to the shore. So he's got to sink, you know. So I've made the decision to not get help with pornography. So now these waves are taking over the ship that I'm on, my family, my life, and I don't have any choice. Now I've got to get off the ship. I've got to sink. I've got to hit rock bottom, so to speak, before I can realize that God has a bigger plan for me.
That's right.
But it's in that journey to the bottom that I'm thinking that my world is over, and then here comes along Pure Desire. They're going to help me change my journey. They're going to help me get a new direction. But it's still not going to be easy. But now,
while you're in there, Jerry, this is time.
Go ahead.
While you're in there a little bit, as you're in the belly of the whale,
right?
Look around a little bit if you can.
Yeah.
And what do you see? What do you smell? What do you think you feel while you're in that belly? Because I think there are people out there now. I think about brothers that are in the belly of that whale at rock bottom. And we need to incorporate, I feel, we need to incorporate our senses a little bit to help us get our senses unstuck.
Right. So. Yeah. So for me, the rock bottom, or after hitting rock bottom, getting swallowed by the well, getting a change of direction, because now the well is carrying you. You know, you're buried alive, but you're still going somewhere. You know, you feel like there's no hope. You feel like, I'm just going through the motions right now. But then there's a revelation, and it's like, God, you're doing something here. I'm going to turn to God. I'm going to turn to Scripture. You know, it might take some people, you know, it took Jonah, it was 3 days and three nights for Jonah in the belly. It might take some people a few months before they realize that this is going to work. You know, there is hope. You know, the longer we drag it on, the longer, the more hurt we're going to cause ourselves, other people, the people around us that are trying to help us. I feel that Jonah couldn't have had any hope, even though he did pray to God. I guess he realized he was still alive. He's like, you know what, God, it stinks in this whale's belly, get me out of here. You know, I'll do whatever it takes. You know, his prayer, and if you would, I'll go ahead and read his prayer real quick. Let me pull up Jonah chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. You know, Jonah wanted to please God. He wanted to turn his life around, but the Lord had to have saved his life. So because the Lord saved his life with the well, he decided, hey, now let's turn it over. And the thing is, with the hope comes in, is I think guys can be intercepted before they get in the well's belly. I think guys can turn their life around when they're getting on the wrong ship. I think they can make a decision, you know, whether it be with our new programs that are coming around, Top Gun with the young people. I think we're intercepting them before they get on the wrong ship. You know, digital natives, before they get down that road, before they have to make that decision. Before the temptations really hit, we can get ahead of it. But yeah, while I'm in the well's belly, there's no hope. Like, I'm thinking this is it, you know. But being that there was a revelation to me that there is hope, and something is actually happening here, that I'm already on board. I don't have a choice. My wife is making me go to this. You know, my wife is motivating this recovery effort. My kids are motivating it, but now I'm here. No matter what reason it is, you make that change, whether it be you are caught, whether it is you're arrested, whether it be, you know, court ordered, what have you, your parents forcing you, own it and make the best of it and make the most effort to get your recovery, get your healing.
You know, you're sharing that, Joe. I thought of me and the belly of the whale, and I see slimy walls, I see critters all around my feet, I smell the ocean, I smell the fish, just a lot of senses that are activated there that, you know, I'm not really crazy about all this. I probably got to suck some air out of the oxygen as he goes to the surface and breathes, and I still cry out to God. And if you're in that place today, there is hope. And, you know, I feel that Joe is preaching the gospel. The platform's just a little different than maybe what he envisioned, but it doesn't matter.
Right.
There's still a story of hope, and we hope you hear that story resonate through him as we talk about Jonah and being spat out of the whale. I mean, what does that look like? Spit up on the beachfront. You know, you come out of him, you're going to be slimy, stinky, and thankful. Yeah. And grateful, and have gratitude that you have a story to tell. So I just like that illustration.
But there was some, this is Casey, and there's some specific reasons why you got in the whale. And a lot of that is because of the wounds of our past.
Right.
So Joe, maybe go into a little bit of that, and then expound on how you got out of the whale.
So yeah, basically, I guess the wounds of my past, you know, the different traumas that I've experienced through, you know, through my childhood, you know, as a young kid being on a commercial job site with plumbers and other contractors and you know, hearing things and learning things too early in life, being exposed to things that I shouldn't have at such a young age and somewhat the freedom that I had as a youngster. I learned things and found ways to cope with those things that weren't helping, you know, through pornography and, you know, TV shows and things that I shouldn't have watched, and just exploring things like that as a young kid. But those traumas led me basically those traumas led me basically to the well's belly, and also not learning how to handle my pain and not learning how to properly process, you know, rejection and fear.
Right. There is a part of this, I mean, this is part of your grievance story. And, you know, a lot of times we tell ourselves that I'm so hurt that this type of activity is acceptable way to medicate my pain.
Right.
And so, but that's just our prefrontal cortex is telling us, and our limbic brain is screaming that that deep within we're in pain.
Right.
So what is some of the things that you did to get out of that pain?
I would isolate. Wow. That was probably my biggest thing is isolation. I would go and I would play video games by myself. I was the only boy. I had sisters, but I was the only boy, so I would go and isolate in a bedroom, play with, you know, Matchbox cars, G.I. Joes, even up to, I was probably 13, 14 years old, and I was still playing with Matchbox cars, Legos, G.I. Joes, like hours. I had elaborate setups and things like that. Like that. So that learning now, that's isolation, you know, and that's not healthy.
Yeah.
That's not healthy. You know, you're like, well, there's nothing wrong with doing that, but it is when you're spending hours, you're not having human contact, you're alone. So that set me up to now, whenever I found pornography, I'm already isolating. So now I've got pornography and masturbation mixed in. And so now I'm like, well, this is much more enjoyable. So so that was basically what led into how I would cope with my grievances and led me down this path of now I'm already isolating. Now I'm already isolating with pornography, and then now I'm procrastinating trying to get help and procrastinating my healing, because I knew that was wrong. I knew that I needed healing, and I knew that people could help me if I would only say something, but I kept trying to do it myself.
Right.
You know, isolate and try to be passive and do it myself.
So what are some tools that you've gained from Pure Desire to help you get out of the belly of the whale?
So, Pure Desire has actually given me so many things. But first off, I got to say that the Bible is probably the best tool that anybody can use.
Right. Amen.
But it's hard for us, you know, some addicts to sit down and read and get. So Pure Desire has taken a lot of the scriptures out and put it in their curriculum to make it to where you can apply it to your stage of addiction, to the different pillars. So that's one thing. But also getting the FASTER scale, learning what the FASTER scale is and how to determine where you are on the FASTER scale has been a big tool to know where I'm at mentally, emotionally, and what kind of things I've been dealing with that week.
Yeah, self-awareness.
Yes, to have self-awareness.
And that awareness, if I can jump in there, one point I wanted to just highlight a little bit, Joe. You said Jonah prayed. Where was Jonah when he prayed?
When he finally prayed, he was already in the whale's belly. He was, you know, he was deep.
And somebody out there needs to hear that now, because
right.
You're in the belly of that whale.
Right.
And God can still hear your prayers.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, very much believe so. I think that there's so many men, Christian men that have no criminal record,
right.
Men that maybe they've never even been caught with pornography. Maybe they're just, you know, looking at ads on TV or magazines at the store, glancing at it, whatever it is, that is you're starting to head towards rough waters. You're starting to make wrong decisions, and just to have accountability to keep from going that way. Maybe it's not that you're struggling with pornography yet. Maybe it's you're struggling with past trauma. If that's all it is, you know, a group like this will definitely help. You know,
and as Joe highlighted a little bit there too, moving ahead and having the FASTER scale, realizing where you are. And once you have the awareness, it brings responsibility.
That's right.
And that's why we're aware we are. Now let's do something to change
right.
And break the isolation and being a victim of your circumstances. Being proactive, which addicts have a hard time doing, and changing my life is critical to getting up, like Mephibosheth, getting up off the floor and saying, all right, I've got to own this. And so we highlight and move forward a little bit. That's a good word.
No, exactly. Yeah. So the group gives you tools. One, so the Faster Scale is one of them, created by Michael Dye in the Genesis process. But another tool is just the brothers in the group, that, you know, the camaraderie, the family that you basically become, your accountability partners, you know, having someone to call when you're having a hard time. Because it's not the pornography that is the problem. It's the pain that pushes you to the pornography. It's the pain that pushes you to the drinking. It's the pain that pushes us away from people. Because when you're having a bad day, you don't really want to talk to anybody.
And sometimes that pain is not obvious. Sometimes it's below your conscious level, and it's a limbic lie that's creeping up and is saying that you're no good, you're no account, you don't measure up, no one will ever love you, nobody accepts you. And we've learned as we walk this thing out together that limbic lie can be in our subconscious, and the way that we battle that is to have our prophetic proclamations that God's given each one of us.
That's right.
And He's given you some too. And you don't have to believe that lie, but being able to hear it and see it are a journey. And we have the tools to do that. So that's beautiful. There's hope.
Awareness is definitely a key, just knowing where you're at. I'm still new in this recovery. I'm not an expert. I'm just sharing my story, and you know, I'm hoping to give someone else hope. You know, in this short time that I've been part of the group, it's been very powerful and very very healing. Even though I'm not saying that I'm healed, but it is definitely something that I highly recommend.
And as Casey and we're working through Pillar 4 again, an extension a little bit more of Pillar 4. It's, you know, the grieving process and then getting up off the floor. Yeah. And then you got a band of brothers here with the freedom fighters that stand with you and help you get off the floor. And then knowing the next steps to take. So as we sort of wrap this up a little bit, Casey, what do you have there for listeners?
Well, I think one of the things that God has really put on my heart is that we have, in order to get up off the floor, we have to surrender. We have to surrender every part of our life to God, because, and we got to fight tooth and nail to get there sometimes. And part of a disciple is simply someone with a disciplined life. So that means we got to walk this out with discipline in our lives. We have to set up some new habits in our lives in order to follow what God's telling us. And, you know, no relapse prevention plan will work unless we make a decision to get up off the floor and keep moving no matter the cost. Right. We got to go to any lengths to get our sobriety.
That's right.
Any lengths to get it.
That's good.
And Joe, I really feel that's what you're doing. You are going after this thing with full force. And it's not because, you know, now you're doing this for yourself. You're not doing it just because of your family and your boys, but you're doing it to become a better man of Christ.
And you're changing your legacy.
That's right.
You're halting some things. I see you on the beach as we talk about it. And I feel there's some listeners on the beach this morning. And if you find yourself there, praise God, the whale spits you out.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we're here for you, so.
Yep. So I want to share a little bit about Mephibosheth real quick as we close. You know, Mephibosheth, he could be bitter at David. He was fleeing because he thought he was going to be murdered. You know, he was fleeing, and that's how he was crippled as a child. And so to have David show up and want to show some compassion towards him, he could have been bitter and rejected it. But he accepted it. He was humbled. And I think he was humbled mainly because he was crippled and he needed help.
Right.
But I wonder how many men are out there that have been crippled You know, and they're rejecting God. They're rejecting the gifts that God wants to give you. The palace. He wants to bring you into the palace, and He wants to make you part of His family. He wants to restore what was yours. Once was yours, but because of sin, because of fear, you've rejected. You've ran away. You've changed the direction that you were once headed. Or there's guys out there that are dabbling with the decision. Does God have to cripple you? Does God have to uncover your pornography addiction? Does God have to uncover your affair and humiliate you in front of your family or friends or whatever it is you might be struggling with? Or you know, maybe you're debating on having an affair. You know, maybe that's something that you're leaning towards. And if I could say not to do it, but not just because you could ruin your family, your marriage, your kids could suffer so many detrimental things, but now you're involving someone else, someone else's family, someone else's children are going to suffer. You know, so many friends of mine, they're separated, their kids are having to suffer, and not only their kids, but the other person's kids. So yeah, if I could just be a light in a dark place today, just to encourage somebody. I hope it was a blessing to you guys, and I appreciate you.
And remember the belly of the whale before you have that affair. Remember what it looks like and feels like and smells like in it.
Yep.
I won't forget it.
Right. And just one last thought. Your miracle is that you get to sit at the table of God's blessing right now as if you had never been dropped. Right. You know, that's Mephibosheth's story right there in a nutshell. He was accepted by David, and actually the land that was given to his family and taken away was restored to him.
That's right.
So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about restoration of families, of lives, of our capacity to really understand what God is doing in us and what He wants to do through us
as men of integrity. That's right. Reshaping of your platform for preaching. The call to the gospel.
Yeah.
We're not in the bowels of this building, but we're close to it. And it's sort of like the belly of a whale. And wherever you are, carry that message.
Amen.
And that's what Casey's doing. That's what Joe is doing. And it's what we're called to do. So.
Amen. All right. So thank you very much, guys, for sharing today. It's a great subject, great podcast. And just remember, there is hope. There is hope. Always hope for anyone that struggles with any of these addictions. God can place people around you that can help you.
Amen.
So, amen.
Thank you.